the money.
That's what I always say. You always follow the money.
Yeah, yeah.
This is Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Pauly Howard on VSiN.
Thanks for checking in. Very busy hour coming up here on Follow the Money, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. We'll go over today's Major League Baseball card with props in 15 minutes. Doug Kazarian in studio on WNBA and NBA free agency at the bottom of the hour. And here we head out to the Progressive guest line. It's been a minute or a year, right around there. Good friend of the show, Nigel Seeley, joins the program on the Progressive guest line. What's up, mate? How are you?
Long time no speak. How are you guys? I'm good. I'm very well. Very well indeed.
Good to see you again.
Great to see you.
He is the director of content over at Because We Win. Loves himself some tennis and betting on tennis. Let's start here. We had this in the previous segment. Paulie was doing Win Some, Lose Some, documented all the big upsets that we saw today on the men's side. What is your takeaway of day one? Is it going to be a chaotic tournament, you think?
Wimbledon always throws up a lot of shocks. If you look at the women's result at Wimbledon, the eight different winners the last 8 years. The winner who won it last year was a pre-tournament 100-to-1 shot. The winner the year before was 100-to-1 shot. The year before that was 25-to-1 shot. It's a tournament that favourites don't necessarily do well. But on the men's side, it's dominated by favourites. The women's usually throws up a shock. You know, the last 6 years, Novak Djokovic being in the final. And we did have some shocks today. We did have some seeds get beat. Holger Rune got beat. We saw Stefanos Tsitsipas get beat. Taylor Fritz, the American number one, is in a bit of a struggle as we speak now. He's 2-1 down. Mm-hmm. So there are the underdogs. There are the day for the underdogs. But the top two in the men's game are so far ahead of everybody else. Medvedev got beat today as well, so that was another shock. But the top two are so far ahead of the field. It's very hard to see where they can get beat. I know Alcaraz come through a real tough match today against Fabio Fognini. I think he took the Italian in his final for Wimbledon tournament a little bit lightly. Didn't play very well, but when you come through a scare in round one, you're only going to get better. And his bracket is so easy. So, yes, there was a few shocks today, but I do think on the men's draw in particular, I think the cream will rise to the top. And it's not good. It wouldn't be a surprise to me to see the final between Jannik Sinner and Carlos Alcaraz again, and repeat of what we saw at the French Open. But the women's draw is well open. Anybody can beat anybody in the women's draw. And, Sabalenka is a short price favourite. But at the prices, I think she's worth taking on.
Is Osaka worth a piece of money? She won today. She was like 65
to 1.
She's
older than me, Mitt Paul. She's older than me. No, but I can't see Osaka winning. I mean, one thing you've got to remember, right? Look at my face. I'm as red as anything. That's not because I've been on the Stella. That's because I've been in the garden. It's 100 degrees in London. It's okay. Absolutely boiling. We're not used to this kind of heat. And you saw today a lot of players coming into Wimbledon absolutely crumble in the weather conditions.
Okay.
Now, tomorrow is going to be even hotter. Mm. So if you're not conditioned, you're coming in conditioned, you're coming in with any kind of injury, and you're playing up against a younger player, you're going to get found out. The temperature is going to drop by about 20 degrees later in the week. So it'll go from something like 110 to down to like the high 60s in the space of 2 days. But today and tomorrow was absolutely brutal. There was no wind. Now, these are the conditions that you would expect in an Australian Open. You've got to think they're playing over 5 hours, and on court, it's probably about 120. So these are brutal conditions, and it was the hottest Wimbledon start today. And I'm not surprised that some of these players got beat, because conditionally, they're not in great shape. They've had a lot of tennis, and if you come in here with any fitness problems, you are going to get found out in these conditions.
Okay, so then based on that, and maybe the upsets don't continue, but would you look at playing maybe some overs with the points in some of these matches, just based on the dogs will be live and we can have like a fourth or a fifth set?
Well, I think when it's hot, and especially at Wimbledon, it's playing quick today because the weather makes the ball speed up quicker. You tend to find a lot more tie breaks. So the tie breaks are up, which ultimately means total games are up. So over total games bettors will probably be making money. I haven't looked at every single match, but if you bet them all blind, I think you'd probably make money today. The average line on a total game in a grass court match, a men's match, is probably 36.5. But given the conditions, you might want to go a little bit higher, 37. Today's been a day for overs. There are a couple of overs I like tomorrow. I like the match between Bublik and Zhao Muna. Over 35.5 games there is minus 120. I like that. Zhao Muna as a player has got some really good data on the hard court swing this year. He's known as an out-and-out clay courter, but his hard court game, which is similar to obviously a grass court, has got better. His returning stats are pretty good. He's a bit of a choker. He doesn't get over the line, but I do think he's more than capable of taking a set against Bublik. Bublik won a grass court tournament in the build-up to Wimbledon over in Hertog and Bosch. And he's been installed as like the fourth favourite to win the tournament. I don't necessarily agree with that. He can be absolutely brilliant. He's very erratic. He can have a great day or an off day. And he has lapses in the match. So I think over 35 and a half games there at minus 120 would be a definite over. The other match I quite like overs is the match between the American Mickelson against Kecmanovic. I think that could go all the way to five sets. And if it does go to a five setter, I think Kecmanovic may have the edge. He's a dog there, but I think that Mickelson's body could break down. He's a young player. He's not really used to playing five sets in this kind of heat. Kecmanovic is much more experienced. I think that could potentially go along. So they're two matches I like on the overs. There's a lot of matches I like on the money line, a couple of dogs I like, and there's a few very strong fancies I like on the women tomorrow.
Okay, the floor is yours. Let's follow the money here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Our guest, Nigel Seeley, Director of Content Because We Win. He's on the Progressive Guest Line. Go ahead. Like, what's the biggest dog that you like tomorrow in a match on the women's side?
Well, on the men's side, there's a big dog. I think Lorenzo Musetti is worth taking on against Basilashvili. Now, Basilashvili is a player that's pretty inconsistent, but Lorenzo Musetti is definitely is an injury concern. He hasn't played since the French Open semifinals. He hasn't been on court for, 4 weeks now, 5 weeks now, to come straight out of that cold and come into Wimbledon. He's got a lot of points to defend because he was the semi-finalist here last year, but I think he's a vulnerable favourite against Basilashvili. I'm not necessarily certain that Basilashvili can get the job done. He's plus 250 on the money line. I think getting him with a 4.5 start on the game handicap is probably the best way to go. But I do think if Musetti's best chance to win that is to come out the blocks and win it three sets to love. If it goes deep, then the injury in this heat would be a massive concern. The match is due to start around about 1 o'clock local time, where it's going to be one of the hottest of the day. And obviously, if it goes on for 3 or 4 hours, you're playing in extreme heat. So Musetti is a vulnerable favourite tomorrow. He could be another seed that could fall early, given his injury concerns. Or you could look at that. He's had a lot of time off to practice for the grass court. But I think it's a big risk to be betting someone sort of minus $4 who hasn't played for a month coming into the transition from clay to grass. Is a big transition. And especially with this weather, any injury doubt is going to be found out. So that's a dog I like there on the men's. I like an American guy, Christopher Eubanks, to beat Dijon around about even money. Christopher Eubanks burst on the scene a couple of years ago at Wimbledon. He made it all the way through to the quarterfinals. I think it was the last 16. He beat some big, big players, including Tsitsipas, to get through to the latter stages of Wimbledon. He's around about even money to beat Dijon. He is a huge server. It's quick. There's a lot of big servers that will relish these conditions. His serve will be too powerful. Dijon is an out-and-out clay court player. He hasn't got any grass court form. So I like Eubanks as a slight dog there at anything around about even money. So there are two dogs there tomorrow at fairly nice prices and plus money. On the women's side, there are four matches that have caught my attention. Now, a lot of these, when we did the podcast on Saturday, I gave these bets out to anybody who watched the podcast or listened to it. But the lines have moved a little bit, but I still think they're potentially value. The Brits had a very good day today. Seven Brits won today, which is a good thing for, I think it's one of our best ever days at Wimbledon. Obviously, we don't have the massive talent that the American pool has, but at Wimbledon, the Brits raise their game. It is their major. They like to play there. They're used to playing on grass. And I think they've got a chance tomorrow of a girl called Jodie Burridge. She's ranked 154 in the world, and she's up against an American girl called Katie McNally. Katie McNally is ranked 208, so she's 50 places below the British girl. They met at Wimbledon in 2023, and Burridge won 6-1, 6-3. She won easy in the first round. They meet again in the first round here. Burridge was even money. She has been betting to minus 125, but I think the Brit there, with the home crowd behind her, beats Katie McNally. I like that. A girl who's injured is a girl called Karolina Mukova. She was the former finalist in the French Open. She's injured. She plays a girl called Wang. Wang got to the fourth round of Wimbledon 2 years ago. She beat Jessica Pegula to reach the fourth round. Mukova has been beaten in the first round of Wimbledon in the last 3 years. And it was plus 108 Wang for this match, but she's been bet now into minus 136. I think Wang will get the job done. Like I say, any injury concern, you've got to be opposing that player. So I'm with Wang there. Two other matches I like. The defending champion now at Wimbledon, the defending women's champion, opens proceedings on the second day. So on day number two, the centre court will be the defending champion. And the defending champion of Wimbledon this year is a girl called Barbara Krejcikova, who won it last year. She was a shock winner. But she has been absolutely had a year ruined by injuries. She's had, since she won Wimbledon title, her year has been problemed by injuries. She pulled out of the tournament last week And if it was any other tournament other than Wimbledon where she is the defending champion and she has to play the opening game to defend her title, I don't think she's sharp this week. But if you play in Wimbledon first round, you pick up $80,000. So there is an incentive for that person to turn up and just play that game. She's up against a young girl called Elia, who is a very talented girl from the Philippines. She's a 20-year-old girl who has a big, big future. She won't be fazed by the heat. She put in a brilliant performance in Miami this year. She'll be Iga Świątek, the former world number one. And I think she'll beat the defending champion. So that could be a shock. Elia to beat Kujikova, but only minus 110 on the money line. And finally, my final bet is one of the unglamorous matches of the day. Son Mez to beat Christiane. Looking at all the stats on the women's draw, Christiane has the worst record on grass in the whole tournament. She's played 13 matches on grass. She's only ever won two in her career. She's never won a match at Wimbledon. She's up against a girl who isn't that good at grass either, but the record of Christiane is so bad and her form this year on grass is terrible. One of her only ever wins has been a girl who is just not even ranked in the top 1,000. And I think Sommez gets the job here done at minus 125. So on the women's, Samora Burridge, Wang, Elia, and Sommez. And on the men's, Eubanks, take on Massetti and go over the games, Bublik, Munar, and Kecmanovic, Mickelson.
All right, mate. That was an Uzi that you unloaded with information, and it was great. Thank you. Enjoy it and stay cool, okay?
Take care, guys. All the best.
Have your people call my people.
There you go. Follow him on X at @Sealy_Nigel. We'll get into today's Major League Baseball card with props up next.
This is Follow the Money on VSiN.
There was a big-time rumor floating around in the NHL over the weekend, and that was the potential of Mitch Marner getting traded from the Toronto Maple Leafs to the Vegas Golden Knights. That is no longer a rumor. It is a done deal, according to reports. Marner has, in fact, been traded out here to Las Vegas. He is going to get 8 years at $12 million per, according to Elliot Friedman. I do not have the details on what Toronto got in return. Are you seeing that as of right now?
I do not know.
This news just broke in the last few minutes.
Golden Knights +950.
I grabbed them 10-1.
All right, good job.
I would say this right now. If you think they're good enough and you just want to grab a number right now, you can find 10-1. Caesars has it. You can find them at +525 to win the West. Other books are as low as 7-1 on the Golden Knights next year.
Yep. You could have grabbed Florida 10-1 down the street. I couldn't believe that price. Ekblad stays, Bennett stays. They're 6-1 at DraftKings, as always, shop around. Bouchard stays with Edmonton. We'll find out what happens to McDavid. But getting a good price on the Knights, that's a huge acquisition. Toronto is 16-1. I don't go crazy if I'm Toronto, though. I mean, again, I think I win that series until Bennett elbows Stolarz in the head and knocks him out of the series.
I don't disagree.
I'm up 2-0. And then I'm up 3-1 in the middle of game 3, which I blow that lead and lose in overtime. So I was right there. They won the Stanley Cup. Certainly had a better series in showing than what Edmonton did. So I don't go crazy if I'm Toronto and run it back. Marner's been public enemy number one there for a long time. But good move for the Knights, and they always reload. How about Gullitson going back to Dallas? DeBoer gets fired. Gullison was the coach, I think, 12 years ago, and he was an assistant with the Oilers, so they bring him back, something Steinbrenner would do.
Are you surprised by this? That felt like, I'm like...
The firing him or...
No, bringing him back. Gully coming back.
Right. Not a big name, and certainly he jumps around, but DeBoer's a winner. And he'll take you to the conference finals.
Oh, he'll get you there.
Yeah, right.
Sure.
And win a game 7 for you, too.
FanDuel still has 10-1 on the Golden Knights. And this is going to be like a local, regional versus national thing. DraftKings says +950. So outside of Las Vegas, you can still find like 10-1. Caesars is also here in town. But a lot of the local books here have already moved down to like +850, +750. I'm seeing again as low as 7-1 on Vegas to win it all next year. They're loaded. Great move for them. There's also Marchand closing in on a 6-year extension to stay in Florida.
Ah, come on.
Yeah.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Damn. Oh, if you...
So what are they right now, actually? What's the latest number on them?
Well, I'm seeing 6 at DraftKings, but Westgate had 10 a couple weeks ago down the street. I'm sure that got gobbled up.
They're at 8.
Okay.
Eight's still not.
Will Hill here.
8 doesn't feel like it's awful, does it?
Until someone can beat these guys. I mean, it's just 3 straight trips to the cup.
I know.
And then you bring every most of these guys back.
And
absolutely.
You saw what they did against Edmonton, I mean, overall in that series. I know Mike Palm's going to be disappointed. He thought Gibson was going to get dealt to the Oilers. That did not happen.
Oh.
The goaltender who was, like, awesome last year got traded to Detroit.
Yeah, that was a bizarre
yesterday.
Trade. Yesterday. What do you think of the Kings? I mean, they blew the series against Edmonton.
Well,
who knows what would have happened?
But then, how far did they go after that? I'll tell you the team that I would have been scared to death of last year. And I think, you know, I can say this, can't prove it. Maybe would have been a better matchup and played Florida and given Colorado. Colorado blew the series against Dallas.
Absolutely. 100%. That was embarrassing.
Yeah.
All those injuries that Dallas had, you obliterate them in game one. Kings are 20-1 at DraftKings. The All way right. Kemper played, how good he was at home. You blow that series, they pin it on the coach. I think they could have made a deep run.
Well, this is fun. So there's one future locked in. Paul, who knows, in the next 40 minutes, we might be adding more bets in the NBA.
I hope something happens.
When it starts there.
Yep. Well, I would love to see a Giannis trade, but I just don't think it's going to happen.
I don't think it's going to happen either.
How do you trade him now after what's happened with the landscape in the East, though? That's the other thing. Even though with Lillard out, and we'll see if you can add a piece, but I don't want to entirely write off Indiana, but these are major blows.
Oh, I know.
Tatum likely out for the year. Halliburton definitely out for the year. And it's, what happens? Can you buy in with the Sixers? I can't get there. Do you believe in Orlando? I still think Cleveland's underrated. And then we're really getting carried away with what they did to the Rockets. But more on that coming up.
Mike Palm said that last week when you were out. He goes, basically, why is everybody making a case for every team in the East not named Cleveland?
Cleveland has to have better odds than Houston.
They have
Yes.
At his
point, Knicks still don't even have a coach. That's a gong show.
Oh, no kidding.
What's going on? But Cleveland now, you're going to lose Jerome, but you keep Merrill. I like the acquisition of Lonzo Ball.
Don't hate it.
You know, Garland's going to be healthy, we think. They won 64 games. They just ran into a hot Indiana team, and they also had 3 guys injured.
That's exactly
at the
right.
wrong time.
Sure.
So they have a good coach. To me, Cleveland has to be the second choice to win the title and a bigger size favorite than what they are to win the East.
Give me the biggest name, maybe tonight, because again, Shams on ESPN said that, we're going to get some big-time deals done today. The biggest name, other than Giannis Antetokounmpo, that could be on the move tonight. I have one guy in mind, and I would not be shocked at all if he gets dealt tonight. It's going to be Jaylen Brown, isn't it?
Whoa, come on. I don't think they trade him.
You don't think so?
You think they trade him?
Oh, I will not be surprised for two seconds if he gets dealt tonight.
Well, I will say this. Brad Stevens is a genius, what he was able to do and unload that salary and what they got back.
To get Anthony Simons for Jrue Holiday?
Yes.
It's an incredible deal for Boston.
Yeah. Bang, bang, Niang coming in. Not so much that he's a good fit with what you want to do and shoot threes. He's not a star, but he can knock down wide open threes, and Boston takes the most. But you get off that horrendous. We still don't have an explanation on what happened. Mysterious illness. You have the best doctors in the world. This guy can't play in the playoffs with a mysterious illness.
Oh, yeah.
So you unload the Porzingis contract and get him out of there.
You know what they're going to potentially look like in 2 years? They could be a machine again with some of these moves that he's setting them up with.
Yeah. I don't think that happens, especially with Durant going to Houston, but. All right, I like where your head's at, but I don't.
I think
Shams is kind of selling. Hey, watch our preview, our show tonight, and free agency starts in an hour, and it's going to be madness. I don't know if that's going to be the case.
Well, okay, so here's a team that it's in the West. Nobody has mentioned them, and I think that might be kind of a mistake because of how aggressive they've been now for like 10 years. Are you going to be surprised if Golden State makes a big move today?
No.
I think you kind of have to expect that.
Yeah. Can you do something there with Kuminga and make a move with that, right?
I think there's got to be some sort of a sign and trade, obviously.
Yeah.
That would make some sense, right?
Mm-hmm.
You get it going there, but second apron be damned for them. You know, they've been super aggressive in adding big contracts, and you got to take them seriously, I think.
Well, maybe something happens with Ayton tonight, too. And
he's 4-1 to Golden State to go to Golden State. I don't see that happening.
Okay. Would you rather have Ayton or Lopez if you're a Laker fan?
I'd rather have Ayton.
Really?
I don't think Lopez has much left in the tank.
Yeah.
He had a great run in Milwaukee. a great run for several years, but he is getting up there, man. Now, and when you think about this, though, Ayton also was in that same draft as Luka. That's coming up on, what, a decade ago? Was it 2018?
Uh-huh.
So, not quite a decade, but he's been in the league for longer than you think.
Well, I don't think, it sounds like Denver isn't doing anything either. They are just going to waste this and blow.
Probably.
Blow his prime, what's going to happen. I will say this, and this has been rumored. Bobby Marks had this ESPN. He wants Houston to go grab Finney Smith. That'd be a hell of a move. Number one, you take him away from the Lakers, and then you add another piece to your deep team and the depth that you have.
Sure.
You know, I'll talk to Doug Kazarian coming up. Can the Lakers keep Finney Smith and get a center not named Ayton?
But Lopez?
Could they do that? I don't know if they can do that. I think they have to choose. I could be wrong on that, though.
Well,
but
Ayton
that's enormous if they could do.
What if Ayton really takes like a pay cut to go there?
I think he will.
Yeah,
and that's one. I know
team,
that. I know.
Super team friendly.
They can get Ayton and Finney. I want to know if they can't. Can they keep Finney, redo his deal, and then get another center not named Ayton? That I don't know. $500 try from GBank First Bet and VSiN. All you need to do is open a GBank Visa Signature credit card. Deposit and play through $1,000 at First Bet in the first 90 days. That triggers the $500 try. $200 in cash back rewards on your GBank Visa Signature credit card. First Bet gives you a $100 deposit match. We complete it with a free VSiN Pro subscription through August 31st. $200 value, and the NFL betting guide comes out tomorrow. The $500 trifecta from GBank, First Bet, and VSiN. Head to VSiN.com/GBank. VSiN.com/GBank. One-time promotion. Limited to customers opening a new account. Apply today. Terms and conditions apply.
What if Shams is right, though? And it's not just a sell job. Hey, make sure you watch tonight coming up.
No, I love it. That'd be great. Fireworks and then all the trades we've had already. Be phenomenal. And hopefully there'll be a surprise, too.
Maybe it's going to be the Kings getting involved, too.
Uh-huh.
DeRozan could be on the move. They're not going to pick up, LaVine after this year.
Yeah.
They can make multiple moves, I think. A team like that, I think, you know, could those guys have an impact on a team that's, you know, close to winning a championship? Sure they can. More with this as Doug Kazarian joins the program coming up next. What does he have his eyes on for tonight? Biggest name that he thinks could be on the move in any futures that he's targeting in the WNBA here on Follow the Money. It's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. We continue talking NBA. Free agency begins at the top of the hour. Doug Kazarian joins the program here in studio as we're live in downtown Las Vegas from the Circa Resort and Casino, the Doug Kazarian Sports Network now on YouTube. The show has launched. Good to see you again today, pal. How are you?
Doing well. Trying to figure out this new world of YouTube, right? I am still a guy who has 6 cable boxes in my house, which I think I need to get rid of some of those and just go to YouTube TV. I have YouTube TV.
Is that accurate? You still have 6?
I had 8 when I was in Connecticut.
Oh, God.
How many remotes?
The same amount, yeah.
Oh,
and,
man.
And a TV remote for everyone as well.
Oh, God.
I got stickers on each remote to know which one it is, left, right,
that
top.
Sounds like a nightmare.
It can be. I got a nice remote caddy as well, you know.
Yeah, right.
Case.
You never mix them up, I'm guessing?
No, because they have stickers. So
I know.
I learned the hard way. I wrote each, like, top left TL or something, but then it's like, well, then I have to read each thing. So I put the sticker on the flat spot. Which TV it is, so you can just see the white sticker.
It's it's like the memory game.
Yeah. Yes.
There you go.
Smart guy. Okay. Went to Brown, baby. There you go.
Sure. So we were just talking about this before you joined the show here. Any chance Giannis gets dealt today? If not, the biggest name beneath him that would go.
Well, look, you can't rule anything out after the Luka deal, right? That came out of nowhere. And I just think Giannis has to first request it. All the reporting is that he has not. I think the Bobby Portis signing is a tip of the cap to him, appease him. I still think he's in the East, and with all these trades, with the superstars and whatnot, there's going to be talent coming back. I mean, this goes back to when Kobe, you know, Jerry West famously said, I went to bed that night thinking I was going to trade Kobe to the Bulls. And then Kobe realized the package that was coming in exchange for him and the team he was going to in Chicago, minus those players, was going to be worse than the one he was with at LA. This is before the Pau Gasol trade, of course.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to give up talent and assets to get a guy like Giannis. And I don't think Giannis believes he can go be on a contender, and it has to be in the East, or he wants to go deal with that in the West. I think the Bucks can make it interesting and surround him with a few players. And I think Doc's more the problem. And then Dame getting hurt is obviously significant, but I don't think Giannis is getting traded. I really don't. I think he has to request it. Remember, he got a title, so it's different than some of these other stars that have requested trades.
Jaylen Brown on the move?
Well, Brad Stevens is very sneaky, and he's adding all those second-round picks, and then he's adding expiring deals like Simons. So I think my gut tells me he's not going to make a big move. He's going to assess around the trade deadline the recovery of Jason Tatum. And I think if Tatum's coming back, he's going to go all in, maybe make a trade with the expiring deal of Simons. And some of these teams like the Bucks and whatnot may have a situation where they need to run its course or they need to give themselves a few more months. But I think Stevens wants to make a move with that expiring deal and let Simons go shoot a million threes and see what happens. But Brad Stevens, as great of a coach as he was, he might even be a better GM. And very scared trading with him at all if I'm any other sort of executive. Him and Sam Presti would scare me. And I think there's moves left. I just don't know if it's happening in the next week or so.
Okay. I think if something big happens, Utah's going to be involved. They just bought out Clarkson.
Right.
And that trade the other day made no sense. Sexton and a pick for your Nurkic.
Ainge has always played the long game, right? He created that atmosphere in Boston where no one's job was safe. It was like a bunch of layoffs every year, and everyone knew that the management saw them as a widget, right? So I think Ainge can't help himself. He's finally getting the pieces, but I don't think he's ready to. I don't think if you're Utah, you're going all in on the West right now. Part of me thinks the reason the Mavericks made the trade with Luka is they thought, why are we going to sign for $350 million when you got the Thunder and the Spurs ready to dominate the West for the next decade? So why would we pay this guy $350 if he doesn't play defense or get in shape? I'm not saying they're punting, but if I'm the Western Conference team outside of San Antonio or OKC, I'm sort of looking at more longer-term future. I just think those two teams are going to be part of the dynasty,
okay,
so to speak.
So do you think Shamsen is trying to sell the programming tonight on ESPN? Because he said earlier today with McAfee, oh, we're going to get some big-time deals done tonight.
I don't know. I think these guys care more about their credibility.
So do I.
Than they do about, like, ratings, okay? I don't think ESPN cares about its ratings for the draft. All ESPN cares about is live events, right, because they pay such a huge nut to get them. And then, like, College Game Day, SVP at Night, First Take, some of these other sort of marquee shows / events. And outside of that, it's, like, all just trying to control the narrative, and social media matters more. YouTube hits matters more just as much as their ratings on, like, a 2 p.m. Eastern Sports Center on ESPN2. Yeah. Like, it just doesn't matter.
Well, a couple months ago, they did that Giannis crap, though, where he could be open to leaving. Well, he hasn't requested a trade, so it's not a story.
Right,
so,
but that would be insiders trying to, like, I think the insiders are working their sort of, like, separate, like, vacuums, and I think they're more professional and care more about their own sort of brand and reputation than they would just to be like oversell a ratings for like a random show.
Can the Lakers keep Finney Smith and add a center, name Ayton?
Doesn't look like it, no.
Oh boy, but you can get Ayton though.
I think they can get Ayton, but you know when you get bought out, you can get him on the minimum,
of
right?
Because
he's still getting that money on the buyout.
There you go.
And remember, Ayton was all about, I just want to get that second contract. That was like his main goal in life was to get a second.
Yes.
Well, now he can get a third one. Yeah. And so I don't think it really matters. So if the Lakers want him, right, does he fit with the lobs and the rim protection and stuff like that? Does he?
Yeah, I think so.
Honestly, Mark Williams is a better fit.
I would agree.
With the pogo stick kind of ups. Mm-hmm. Ayton now stretches he doesn't clog the middle, which you don't want when you have LeBron and Luka. You need to space it. Mm-hmm. And he can space. As long as it's work ethic. I mean, clearly something went wrong in Portland. I trust Chauncey Billups. I've always liked Ayton as like a starting center, nothing mm-hmm. like crazy. But you always got to get a little uneasy because money changes people. I always used to joke that I'd be like Eddie Curry too. I don't blame him for, going fat when he grabbed $250 million or whatever it was at 18 years old. So very few people have the work ethic and things like that. So when a guy sort of wears out his welcome and stuff like that, you just, maybe LeBron can flip him and make him competitive.
Okay. Do you have any interest in betting the Rockets?
No.
Okay. And
I still don't trust Van Vliet. I still don't trust a team that's maybe starting Jabari Smith. Durant's fragile in terms of his body and ego, for that matter. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if he's as much of a difference maker as he once was. Like, why is it always someone else's fault when things don't work out? Why is it not his fault it didn't work out in Phoenix? Why is it not his fault it didn't work out with Kyrie that he chose to play it? Why did Nash have to go? You know, things like that. At some point, Durant is who we know he is. He's been in the league over 15 years.
Yep.
Drafted in 2007, I believe, so it's 18 years now. And at some point, it's the proof's in the pudding. Yeah, the greatest team ever, 2017 and 18 Warriors, fine. He won a title there, won an MVP, finals MVP. We know he's awesome. We know he's a talent, but it's a different animal right now.
Have you bet any futures yet? Conference, title,
no.
Or do you have a team circled based
like
on what
Cavs,
you have today?
Honestly, you're okay. 8.5, 9. I mean, at some point, I mean, they're the number, they were dominant one seed in the East. The other three contenders all had stars blow their Achilles.
Yep.
They're going to learn from this experience. They're well coached. I know Garland's hurt, going to be out a little bit, but there's no reason that their path through the East, like, yeah, I think Orlando's better, of course. Who knows with Boston? Who knows with the Knicks? But the Cavs are so legit, and they were really good against the big. I think Mitchell can be like a Dirk-esque run if he can be the best player in a series, even though the guy on the other team, let's say it's SGA, is quote-unquote better and maybe the regular season MVP. I think he can outperform them, and all you need is 3 or 4 games to outperform them in a series.
Shouldn't they have, right now, if they stay healthy next year, that's a big if, but if they do, don't they have like an easy path to get the one seed next year?
That's kind of my point.
Yeah.
And what, you know, what would they be going into the playoffs? 4-1, 3-1. So getting like 7.5, 8, 8, 8.50 is pretty enticing when all these other teams have giant warts. Yeah. But I do like the Sixers at a long shot. I know.
Oh, here we go.
I know. Boy. But I wouldn't bet them regular season division odds, which I've seen plus 750. No. Futures, the only, because they'll baby Embiid all year.
I got to tell you, I like what they did a lot in the draft, too.
Right, and that's what I'm saying. The bench players are good, yeah. Right? The guys who got hurt and everyone, like Grimes, and they have all these pieces. And if the starters can just, like, stay healthy and Edgecombe, to your point, I mean.
And Broom.
Yeah.
Right?
He's fine.
Yeah.
So I think if I get duped again by the 76ers, honestly, I should just be, like, put in prison for a weekend. Like, Mitch,
but
you, you can't
Nick,
do this
at least
anymore.
It's Nick Nurse and not Doc. Like, I didn't, you know, I'd go all, I won't be as embarrassed if. Because Nick Nurse is at the helm.
Yeah. How about $80 million for Harden? This guy, gun and ski mask.
The Clippers are the dumbest franchise I've ever.
You think so?
It's inexcusable.
Yeah.
It's inexcusable to pay him. It's a joke. I went through this on my show, actually. I went through, like, his last 7 playoff games where he just laid eggs, like 11 points, 9 points, 13 points. What more proof? What's the definition of insanity?
Yep.
You want to pay him that? Like, this is why I maintain LeBron and these other guys are underpaid. The max player deal is what ruined the NBA and created super teams. If you had a free market, let's just say it's a $100 million cap, these guys would all make 70. The middle class in the NBA and a lot of leagues makes too much. Uh-huh. You should have all the big ones and the big fish, and then all the best 15 players would be on 15 different teams because they wouldn't take $2 million less. They would have to be taking $35 million less. So they wouldn't. So they'd all be dispersed evenly across the landscape of the NBA, and guys like Harden would not make that much.
Good.
Like Eric Bledsoe, when Dan... owner of the Cavs, Dan Gilbert, complained and whined. Gilbert made as much as Bledsoe made as much as LeBron that year because of the max player deal.
Yep. All right, get VSiN's exclusive betting splits for as little as $9.99 for your first month. You can check them out from DraftKings, more public book there, and Circa. They take a lot of sharp action. Get started now at VSiN.com/subscribe. More with Doug Kazarian up next. The WNBA's Commissioner Cup is tomorrow night. Lynx and Fever. We'll get into that game and maybe a future or two that Doug likes as well.
This is Follow the Money on VSiN.
Good to have you on board here on a busy Monday. We continue. Doug Kazarian's in studio. Doug Kazarian Sports Network. He launches his own show on YouTube. Do you agree with the market with some of these line moves in the WNBA when key players are out?
No, I think the market's getting tighter. At least the few recent plays I've had will prove that. I don't think they really know the true value of anything. So in general, whether it's Cowboys, Eagles, Sunday night, odds makers want everyone at full strength. They trust their power ratings. They trust the market. It's when there's major injuries. That's when people don't know. Like we've seen when Dak was out a couple years ago and stuff like that. No one knew. You know, no one.
Oh, I would go to my grave. I would fight people. Let me put it that way. That Aaron Rodgers, the 1 year that he got hurt, was worth 2 touchdowns to the Packers.
Yep. Right.
They were a Super Bowl contender, the worst team in the league.
Yep.
I remember 10 years ago, they said Eli was the worth most of the point spread because he never gets hurt, and his backup was like Kafka out of Northwestern.
Okay.
And the, so it's the delta between them and the backup too, right? But I thought what the Packers did last year after when Love got hurt to go that, what, you know, wing T-bone option thing with, you know, Willis or whatever it was incredible. So I don't – so in the W, with when there's such a top-heavy league and bench players, I mean, they're getting better, but – it's definitely like a huge drop off anytime a star is out.
So I'm surprised now, by the way, side note, the league's going to expand to 18 teams in the next like handful of years. I look at some of the benches across the league and I'm like, wow, they have like, look out here at Las Vegas. They have zero
but
bench.
But the Valkyries were the players that were unprotected. They were all bench players. And they're pretty good now.
But okay, but do we have enough players in the league? There's no way.
The quality of play, like curve, is exponential. I think college basketball is better than it was a handful of years ago. So I think the players that they're projecting into the league are going to be better as well. I mean, look, the WNBA, what is this, 25 years or so into the league, maybe 30. But the trickle-down effect is when there's the professional women's basketball league, then kids growing up can now go to camps. So it's taken a while for it, for the evolution to take place. But I mean, 10, 15 years ago, players were surprised by a back cut. It was like wide open layups. Now that's not, I mean, there's the feel for the game right now is exponentially better than it was like 3 years ago.
It's actually a light week, busy card yesterday, but the game is tomorrow night, the Commissioner's Cup. And then we don't have another card until like Thursday. What do you make of the Lynx laying this number to the Fever?
I'm just mad. I was staring at -4 for a few days last week, and I'm just an idiot for not pulling the trigger because it's moved to 6.5 because there's speculation that Caitlin Clark will not play. And if she does, very limited action. And there's really no reason for her to play. I understand there's a $20,000 difference per player, but they're a team that can't mess around. They're in the bottom of the playoff standings. They need to play the long game. This game doesn't count in the regular season. While it's nice to pick up $20,000 extra, I have a feeling there's a better chance that, I mean, better than 50% chance she sits, and I was not thinking that a couple days ago. I thought when she sat out Thursday last week, she was going to play Friday. That's not the case, and it's the left leg. So she had a quad injury a little bit ago on the left side, and then now it's a groin. There's someone who hasn't missed a game since high school, 185 straight games until this sort of recent stretch, so I don't think they're going to mess around. And she was playing poorly before that, right?
She really was.
She was nicked up. So I just don't think they're – that's why I think the line move's coming in. I think someone knows something, so to speak. But
well, if we get official word, like, I'd say an hour before game time tomorrow, where does the number go?
Up. I'd lay it. I mean,
to, like, 8?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, there's a 7 out there. I wouldn't want any part of the Fever. They're just so inconsistent, and that's what the Lynx are. They're super consistent, right? So they can come at you in waves, that second unit to start the second quarter. I think Stephanie White's does – they've had so many interchanging parts, right? They added Ari McDonald as a backup point guard. Sometimes they run the offense through Kelsey Mitchell, and she can have 5 threes and a half, but then she can also go 1 for 7. I think Sophie Cunningham stinks as an offensive player. She's a liability defensively, and I just don't think they have enough sort of continuity on defense to guard like a 5-out offense that the Lynx can run. Now, Minnesota does sort of get in their own way. They're not as obviously Collier's fantastic, and then some of these other players are more like glorified role players, but I still think that the system and the chemistry they have will just get open shots, and I think that's why they would cover.
All right.
You had an interesting tweet about Chicago and what they should do, and I feel good for Angel Reese, you know, the me bounds and all that, and like Mitch said, to her credit, they trademark that, get it. But if she can find something offensively here, and this has been dynamite, 24-16 last night, 17-18, 18-17, 10-19, 17-10. First player to have 4 games in a row with 15-plus boards, but the scoring's been there. What do you think of her props moving forward if they make a trade?
They're throwing 11.5 and 12.5 rebounds for her props. 3.5 assists. She had that by halftime. I don't think anyone can come up with a better sort of comp in the NBA. She's 80% of Ben Wallace, 20% of Mason Plumlee. Okay? She doesn't have the blocks that Wallace has, but she has all the assists, and that's where I think Plumlee, like a 4 who can grab the rebound and just run the break. She's a good basketball player. Everyone focuses on what she doesn't do well instead of what she does well, and she's pretty good. I mean, she's an all-star. She's probably going to start the all-star game this year. I don't understand the hate. I mean, yes, I laughed at the Mebounds highlights. Mm-hmm. It's baffling how incompetent she can be around the rim when she's got huge centers guarding her, but why isn't Camilla Cardoso catching the half the heat she is? She's 6'7". She was the third pick. She stinks. She can't even get up and down the court. She can only play 15, 20 minutes a game. They should trade her. They've gone small ball without her because she's over playing in a Euro tournament, and Angel's still getting all her rebounds, and they're playing well. I think it's a ridiculous the heat she had. Now she brings it on herself. She's more of a celebrity. I get it all, but just because she's talking smack, Garnett used to make up stuff about the opponents just to get him like fired up for like a Wednesday game in January in Charlotte or something. She's just like a trash talker, competitor, all this stuff. But we have no issues when like guys do it. Why can't we have no issues when she's doing it?
So because of this run that she's on, if they price it like 12.5 or below for the rebounds, is it an autoplay right now?
Yes, it is. She, Jay Billis says effort is a skill. She busts her tail. I mean, we complain about these athletes. When we bet on these NBA games, we care more than the players sometimes
during the
regular season. Yeah. She's out there on every possession going bananas. And she thinks, down their starting point guard. She has no help aside from maybe Ariel Atkins and some shooting here and there. But she's not supposed to be the main offensive weapon. She's just doing it herself. And she's the only one trying hard. Their coach is sort of clueless at times. The franchise has been a disaster, picking horribly. So I feel bad for her in a lot of ways, but I think she's kind of fun to like root for while there's so many haters out there.
Do you have any futures on Phoenix?
Yes, 20-1. Should have grabbed 31. It's now, 9-1, 7-1? Oh, by the way, DraftKings is doing Angel Reese offensive rebounds now for every game.
They are.
You can't bet me bounds, but I asked DeVello. He said, we did it for the Caitlin Clark game, and there was such interest in the offensive rebounds. Now we just do it for every game. So you can bet on her rebounds and her offensive rebounds. I think she went under by a hook on the offensive rebounds. It was 4.5. I think she only had 4 yesterday.
But regardless, the fact that you can put that up, okay.
You should, I think Phoenix is loaded. Look, Kalea Copper is one of the most athletic players in the league, if not the most. And she was injured, missed a bunch of the season, and then she joins these two players who are also all-stars/Olympians in Sabali and Alyssa Thomas, and then they have 4 rookies they play. They have a good coach, and they're taking some time. The pieces all fit. They all complement each other. They have the big three that they have that they fit and play well with each other because Liz Thomas doesn't want to shoot much. They're awesome. I really think they're one of, 4.5 teams that can win it all.
Okay, so that number is now wiped away, right? Because they dominated the Liberty over the weekend, and that was slashed from like 16-1 down to, like you're saying.
Yeah, there's some 750s out there.
I think I saw less than that, actually. So would you still play them like in the exacta markets? Would you play just to meet in the WNBA finals? Would you play Phoenix versus the Liberty?
I would take them over any team right now.
Oh, you would?
If I had to draft like bracket or whatever, I would draft them first. I don't think the Liberty are that. Now, even if obviously they need Jonquel Jones back, but I don't think they're that good. I think Ionescu thinks she's better than she is. She wants to be flashy. I think Brianna Stewart, for some reason, is not playing as well. Either she's past her prime or whatnot. Jones is really good. And they have depth. And obviously, Cloud's been a great addition. But I really like the Mercury.
Would you say that Minnesota's better than New York?
Probably. I just think Minnesota, when it comes down to pure talent, outside of Collier, they're just not that good.
Really?
Like the individual players. Like McBride's a good shooter. Courtney Williams is fun. Like they're just
not that good. But she carries
the team.
They
don't rebound. She carries and the system, and they all hit threes. But I think in a series, when you're used to facing that offense, kind of like Golden State's offense loses its potency as you play them multiple times in a row, I think Minnesota's like that because they have so many sort of backdoor cuts and slip screens, and it's great to watch, and it's great in the regular season, but I think in the playoff they get stalled a little bit, and Collier's really good. But with that being said, they should have won the title last year.
You mentioned Golden State earlier. Mm-hmm. We were talking about this during they already went over their win total?
Yes.
They're
Natalie
9-7.
I think the Aces miss her on the bench. How about she should be unanimous coach of the year? It was 7.5. It opened 15.5, one book. I think bet 365, and then everyone bet under, closed 8.5, and now it's 9. They're 9-7.
Wow. There was a 7-win move?
Yes.
Oh,
everyone
wow.
made fun of them for opening 15.5, and they're probably going to go over that. Maybe.
Wow.
9-7.
Yeah.
11-5 ATS.
Yeah.
8-2 ATS at home.
Oh, wow. Okay. Awesome crowds.
And one of the two losses is a big favorite, but they're great as the home dog.
Wow. All right, buddy. Thanks for coming in today.
Good to be with you guys, man.
You can follow him on X. He's at Doug Kazarian, the Doug Kazarian Sports Network, available now on YouTube as well. We'll talk most wins in baseball, month of July. Chris Bennett from here at Circa coming up next. Again, some of these teams play 23 games, others play 26. Tricky month